Sadly, we were all informed about the unthinkable tragic school shooting in Texas, leaving us here in America grieving those precious lives lost and the families, the friends, and communities that were impacted.
There are some tragedies that will stay with us for the rest of our lives. There are certain things that have happened in my life that will stay with me for the rest of my life. So it's not a matter of getting over it, but it's more about how you integrate it into your life and recognizing that as you integrate it into your life, God will bring those moments or people or experiences that are very redeeming. And they're different for every person, but kind of helping people look back on their lives and see how some of those past tragic experiences have been used to draw him closer to them or to foster a greater reliance.
Hello, I'm Jenny Burkheiser, and this weekend on Family Radio Network's Community Bridge, we're so pleased to welcome our guest, Joni DeBrito, a counselor and regular contributor to Focus on the Family, here to talk with us about recognizing God's goodness and sovereignty, even in the midst of tragic news and trauma. Dr. DeBrito, it's really our pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here as well.
Tragedy, bad news, these moments of just pure evil and the heartbreak that comes are happening, you know, in our fallen world, but they are so difficult to navigate through. We just can't imagine what the parents and grandparents are dealing with right now. Tell us, though, about that mix of emotions that we all are possibly experiencing right now, the grief, the anger, the sadness, the fear. What are people going through after we hear news like the unthinkable that happened in the Texas school shooting?
Well, everything that you just mentioned and more, Jenny. So certainly anger, sadness, fear, anxiety. For some people, they may feel very depressed and hopeless about the world because of these things that continue to happen. And so it's very normal for people to feel a little bit overwhelmed at first. And that's why at this point, the most helpful thing you can do is talk with other people who are supportive in your life, whether that be professional people or just family members or pastors or mentors or whomever, to really talk about how this is affecting you, how other similar incidents have affected you. And for sure, to take time to be with loved ones, to remind you that you have those loved ones in your life. And they are there not only to be a wonderful part of your life, an exciting part of your life, but also we protect one another, don't we?
Yes.
And we talk about, you know, what our needs are. We talk openly with our loved ones so that they can understand and come alongside of us, and we can come alongside of them as well.
Are there any signs or symptoms that we need to be mindful of as parents that our kids, maybe we're grandparents and our grandkids are really feeling a lot of stress about this school shooting and just anything traumatic that they're hearing about in the news as these events sadly keep on happening?
Right. There are some things to watch for sure. So you're going to watch for patterns, and especially if patterns change. So if you normally had a very engaged social child and the child is now not engaging with you or with friends and is not wanting to socialize or expressing a lot of fear and anxiety about things that are normal things. So not just I'm afraid that there's going to be a shooter that comes to our school or something awful is going to happen to me or someone in my family or my friends, but even it generalizes into other kinds of anxiety. So they're afraid to go to the store. They're afraid to go for a walk. They're afraid of things that we normally engage in that are pretty safe. And actually going to school is also very safe for the vast majority of people on the vast majority of days in a school year. So we're looking for patterns, changes in weight, people eating more or eating less, changes in sleep patterns, sleeping all day long or not being able to sleep, changes in emotion. Maybe you had someone who was typically very engaging and warm and friendly, and that person now is crying on a regular basis and really struggling, or it's someone that used to be very emotional and very able to emote in a very healthy way, and now is completely shut down. So those are things that we want to look at and pay attention to. And you know, what's so great, Jenny, is you don't have to have any advanced degrees or experience in psychology or anything to be able to be helpful to your children. It's really a matter of talking.
We always want to go to the Bible for our source of comfort and hope. Is there any scripture or maybe story, account in the Bible that really demonstrates how even in the midst of such evil circumstances and suffering and things that shouldn't have happened, he still gives us hope? How can we look to the Bible for encouragement at this time?
You know, I think number one, throughout the Bible, we see tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, some things that have happened outside of any person's control. And then lots of things where we see the consequences of sin in humankind. And you can get really depressed by those stories, or you can keep reading. And as you keep reading, you see how God redeems those things. You see how God, you know, redeemed the Israelites. You see how God has redeemed so many people in the story. You think of Jonah and the whale and so forth, and the good that comes out of that. And I also just think about in the Bible where it talks about us being all part of one body, but different parts of the body, and how we equip and lift one another up. And that's where the hope is found, that when one person is down, God has equipped us with other people to help us. And he's also equipped us. In the Bible, it tells us that when Jesus left, he left a helper behind, the Holy Spirit. I will just also tell you, I want to share a personal story with you. One of the first responses I did was the Columbine High School shooting in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
I was a first mental health responder. And I'm not going to go through all the tragedies and things that came out of that, but here's the story that most people do not know. So I responded to Leawood Elementary, where parents were being brought to be reunited with their children. At the end of the day, there were several families left, and we pretty much had figured out by that time, these were probably parents and family members of children who were lost.
Oh my.
Because by that time in the day, we would have heard from them if they were alive. There were people running around with cell phones, and AT&T was there trying to connect people. And basically it turned out that the families that were left were the families of those that we know that were lost. Mm. But what people don't know is by that time in the day, every single family there had a church family surrounding them. They had their pastors, their youth pastors, their friends, their neighbors. And it was at one point what could have been the most tragic time, where people would have just been openly grieving and so fearful. It was completely quiet in the kind of cafeteria slash gymnasium in this elementary school. And everyone was praying.
Wow.
And there was so much support for those families, because it was unspoken. We pretty much knew that those children were probably not going to be reunited with their families. But that community came out, and the fellowship of their pastors and their youth pastors and their other church members came alongside people and just sat and held parents, held their hands, talked to them. And that didn't stop once that day was over. It went on and on and on and on and on. And God talks about that in the Bible, the importance of our fellowship with other believers, the importance of us lifting one another up. And that's what you see. You see that out of that incredible pain comes this amazing fellowship and equipping equipping disciples to basically help others who are really struggling.
That's so beautiful. It really makes me think of, you know, how I think in John 17, Jesus prayed for us and that we would love one another, and that, you know, God's love that's in him would be seen in us. Mm-hmm. Something the world wouldn't expect to mm-hmm. see in the midst of such tragedy. Our guest today on Community Bridge is Dr. Joni DeBrito. She is a counselor and regular contributor to Focus on the Family. Stay with us. We'll ask Dr. DeBrito more about ways that perhaps if we are dealing with trauma, maybe we've gotten some bad news recently, maybe we're questioning God's love, and how could this happen to us, how we can still put our hope and trust in God, just like those families after Columbine did, in just a moment. So stay with us. I'm Jenny Burkheiser. You're listening to Family Radio and Community Bridge. Dr. DeBrito, you wrote an article about parenting a child that's been affected by a traumatic event. Mm-hmm. And the article you wrote, while it's hard to reconcile the image of a loving, righteous God in the midst of tragic loss, we parents, maybe it's grandparents raising a grandchild, mm-hmm. yep. need to stay focused on the sovereignty of God.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Share with us, what are some things that we can expect if we're a parent, a grandparent that has been involved in a tragic, traumatic event?
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly it's normal to feel some anxiety and to wonder, kind of like what you said at the beginning, will I be able to send my child to school? And that's just a normal feeling. What we start to realize as we talk to people is we start recognizing this was a very unusual event and it's not likely to happen. And so it helps to talk about that. But it also is so helpful for parents and grandparents to recognize that's normal anxiety, but we also need to be good role models for our children. And so it's okay for us to admit, I'm a little fearful as well, but kids, obviously, depending on the age, the younger they are, the more they're going to model what you do. And as, so then if you start cowering and being afraid to go to the grocery store and afraid of so many other things that we do just to keep life going during the day, they will tend to develop this spirit of anxiety. And that's not something that God wants for us. God doesn't want us to worry. It talks about in the Bible, actually, that worry is a sin. Mm. And I don't know about you, but more than once I've had to confess to Lord, I've been too worried about this. I'm giving it to you.
Yes.
Because it's a normal experience to worry about things. And yet, if we're worried a lot, that's saying that we're not trusting that God is watching over us. And he's watching over us in the best of times and the worst of times. So really to be thoughtful about not modeling anxiety, but modeling resilience. Now, it's also completely normal to feel a lot of emotion. So as a parent or a grandparent, you want to find healthy ways to vent that emotion away from your children. Your children shouldn't be your counselor. Mm-hmm. You need to find either a counselor or friends or mentors or whomever, other people in your life to talk through how you are feeling so that when you go to communicate with your kids, you're not projecting your anxiety or your fear or your, you know, angst onto mm-hmm. them.
Mm, so good. You know, you mentioned about bringing up this conversation with our child, with our grandchild, mm-hmm. asking open-ended questions. Again, how would you encourage that we maybe even use that modeling in our language and our talk to mm-hmm. encourage a spirit of courage and not that spirit of fear?
Mm-hmm. It's such a great question, Jenny. I do want to give Christians a word of caution. And that is that this may have happened to you. It happens to most people somewhere along the way, that either a Bible verse or a prayer is used as a magical answer to someone's pain. And typically that doesn't go over well. And again, it's all about timing. So when someone is hurting, clearly prayer is important, but always say, if you feel like you want to pray, I'd like to pray for you. Is that okay? And if someone says, no, I don't want anybody praying for me right now, I'm just mad at God, you have to let that be. You have mm-hmm. to let that anger be there, because if you step on that emotion through just a obligatory prayer, it tends to distance that person and make that person feel like God doesn't really care. You know, God sent me someone to just put a Band-Aid on this and basically tell me to be quiet. Mm. Or if you start quoting scripture, it comes across as discounting how awful you're feeling. So always ask permission before you share scripture or pray. And if someone says, yes, I'd love to pray, try to remember to say, Would you like me to pray for you? Would you like me to sit here and listen as you pray? Or would you like us to pray together? So that you're really being respectful of what that person needs. And I think that is especially helpful.
Yes, yes. Just really respecting that person, their individual, and what their desires, right, their needs are.
Right.
What words of encouragement would you leave with our listeners who maybe they just got a cancer diagnosis, or they found out their mother or father has passed away unexpectedly? What would you tell that person about God's goodness and how he is in control even when bad things happen?
Well, I think that is the piece, that people continue to recognize that God is in control. And again, it's all about timing. We need to be careful to allow that emotion before you do provide that encouragement. But to talk about examples in the Bible of, we'll start with people who suffered because of sin, for instance. And the example of Jesus Christ is he always led with grace and followed with truth. And so that's where that grace comes first, and then followed with truth. And so we want to make sure that people have that grace. But then the truth is, again, about timing. And that could be minutes later, hours later, days later, or months later. You have to allow people to have that emotion and then to be able to say, let's look back. What has come out of this that was different than what you expected? Has it brought about a greater dependency for you on God? And if so, that's a good thing. But also to point out, human beings are very resilient. And there are some tragedies that will stay with us for the rest of our lives. There are certain things that have happened in my life that will stay with me for the rest of my life. So it's not a matter of getting over it, but it's more about how you integrate it into your life. And recognizing that as you integrate it into your life, God will bring those moments or people or experiences that are very redeeming. And they're different for every person, but kind of helping people look back on their lives and see how some of those past tragic experiences have been used to draw him closer to them or to foster a greater reliance. But again, it's all about timing. We don't want to dump that on someone too quickly, because if we do, it feels like you're not hearing how bad I'm feeling, and I just really need you to sit with me here. Frankly, that's an encouragement as well.
That caring presence. Dr. DeBrito, this has just been so good to get some professional advice on just how to talk with others, our kids, our grandkids, our spouse, about tragedy and when things happen and we're struggling. How can we find out more information, and especially from a biblical perspective, on learning more about coping with tragedy in a way that recognizes the sovereignty and the goodness of God, even when we're experiencing, you know, things such as this evil shooting in Uvalde, Texas?
So Focus on the Family has a team of counselors that are available to provide consultation to people who call. That number is 855-771-4357. People call that number Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mountain Time, or that would be 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time, and then you can figure out from there going east or west, Monday through Friday. And what will happen is they'll call, they'll get a representative who's not a counselor, and they can say, I really want to talk with a counselor. That person will take their name and contact information, and a counselor will call back within 24 to 48 hours. That consultation from a counselor at Focus, and that would be a licensed professional counselor who also is a Christian, so coming from a mental health and a biblical perspective, that is free of charge. And people can call, I believe it's up to 2 times a year for that consultation. If the counselor believes that that person might benefit from some ongoing counseling, they have access to what's called the Christian Counselors Network. It's also a network of counselors throughout the United States who are licensed professional mental health providers, but also align with Focus on the Family statement of faith. And so these are people who are definitely counseling from a mental health and a biblical perspective. Now, those counselors are not free of charge. They'll have to pay for them, but the counselor at Focus might be able to help them find either someone in their general area or find someone that they can contact via telehealth remotely. So that is a great resource for anyone. And anybody, I would urge anyone who asks questions, if you are struggling as a parent or grandparent, if you have a child that you think might be struggling, that would be a good number to call. I should also mention that many people have children these days who are struggling with their own issues of depression, anxiety, issues of violence, etc. It's not just those people who have been personally affected that will call after something like this. Often it's people calling saying, I am so afraid that my child may be someone who might be thinking about doing an act such as this because he or she is really struggling with depression and has a violent tendency. Mm-hmm. And so we take a lot of calls from those kinds of folks as well. And obviously we care about them just as much as those who've been personally affected. And we can help them get to the resources so they don't have to worry about their children being a perpetrator of this kind of violence in the future, but actually get them some really good mental health. And that's the last thing I would leave with. We have God that is sovereign over all. And I believe that God has brought a lot of resources to this world in the form of talented people, counselors, given the gift of counseling and the gift of wisdom and discernment to many people in the mental health field. There is so much good help out there, Jenny. There are so many great treatments and different resources to help kids or adults who are struggling with depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, etc. And so I encourage people to pick up the phone if they have mental health concerns about themselves or their friends or family members and really seek out that help because it is available. And statistics show that when people get help, very intentional, focused help for mental health issues, that people do tend to get better.
Mm. So encouraging. Thank you so much, Dr. DeBrito, for sharing with us today on Community Bridge. We will definitely check out that toll-free number, the Focus on the Family counseling line. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm Jenny Burkheiser. Speaking with us today on Community Bridge and Family Radio has been Dr. Joni DeBrito. She is a counselor and regular contributor to Focus on the Family, encouraging us that there is so much help and hope available. You can call the Focus on the Family counseling line 1-855-771-4357. I'm going to repeat that, that free consultation line 1-855-771-4357. If you are struggling with coping with tragedy, tragic news, maybe you have mental health concerns for yourself or your loved one, there is help and hope available. So give them a call at Focus on the Family. They're available Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Mountain Time, or Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Central. And they can connect you with someone in the Christian Counselors Network. Again, I'm Jenny Burkheiser. We've been talking with Dr. Joni DeBrito, counselor and regular contributor at Focus on the Family, about recognizing God's goodness and sovereignty, even in the midst of tragic news and trauma. Stay tuned for more local discussion of issues in your community. Again, I'm Jenny Burkheiser. You're listening to Family Radio. Hear the word.
You are listening to Community Bridge. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Family Radio, its staff, or management. As Ephesians 2, verse 10 tells us, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Join us as we explore opportunities to do good in our communities. If you are aware of a need, interest, or concern in your area, please call us toll-free at 1-800-543-1495. Family Radio, proclaiming the comfort, hope, and joy found only in Jesus. Support the ministry at familyradio.org so others can hear the word.